Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live on this weekend edition on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm. Coming up on this program today, a look at a few of the headlines from around the world that are pretty interesting. Also preview some of the programming this weekend here on Trumpet Radio. And also continue to take a look at this tremendous book, The King of the South. A lot happening in the Middle East and a lot to consider, especially when it comes to Iran and what they're up to. We'll take a look at that and more on this edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live. This is Trumpet Radio, and we are live, hence the name of the program, 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm. And I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon here today as well. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can do that at kpcgfm. Any emails you want to send, please send those along to comments at kpcg.fm. Well, a lot happening in the world, a lot to look at today, including a couple of interesting headlines. You know, we talk, Grant, about just being thankful that we're in the United States, because it is a very blessed country, even though there's a lot of problems today, too. And here's another example of that. If you're living in Delhi right now, they say this from CNN, breathing in Delhi air is equivalent to smoking 44 cigarettes a day.
Oh.
That's the pollution there in Delhi.
And even here we have an issue with some people getting secondhand lung cancer from secondhand smoke. Imagine if you were over there in India. That's pretty terrible.
Nothing they can do to get away from it, really. They say air quality readings in the Indian capital have reached frightening levels in recent days, at one point topping the 1,000 mark on the U.S. Embassy Air Quality Index. The World Health Organization considers anything above 25 to be unsafe.
Wow.
And they're at 1,000. That measure is based on the concentration of fine particulate matter, or PM2.5 per cubic meter, the microscopic particles, which are smaller than 2.5 micrometers in diameter, are considered particularly harmful because they are small enough to lodge deep into the lungs and pass into other organs, causing serious health risks. Similar, I suppose, to asbestos, where it's small enough to be breathed in, but then it gets caught. According to experts, Delhi pollution is made up of a combination of vehicle exhaust, smoke from garbage fires and crop burning, and road dust. And so it's been described as a gas chamber there in the city. Of course, they're selling masks and air purifiers to try to help people to some extent, but a lot of people, especially the poorer residents, are forced to endure the best that they can. So that's what it's like in Delhi right now. Equivalent to smoking 44 cigarettes a day.
Yeah, and I would think a chain smoker only goes through like 20 or 30, if that. And so this is almost twice as much, if not more, as what a chain smoker would go through in a day. Marijuana has the respiratory effect of 5 cigarettes per time you light up, so you'd have to do that 9 times to equal or exceed the amount of smoke that they're just inhaling in their everyday lives walking down the street. That's just a really horrible environment, and that just brings to light again how all these people who are demanding that the U.S. lead the way in climate change are not understanding how bad it is in other places. America's already the best in the world. It already has the cleanest environment in the whole world. It already does the most to regulate industry so that it doesn't pollute like that.
Yeah, there's a story today about I think it was a radioactive cloud of some kind was going over Europe, and they think it was from Russia doing something with nuclear technology. I didn't read all the details, but that's the first thought I had too. Was like, wow, everyone's pointing the finger at us for climate accords and all these things. What about the radioactive cloud that's coming out of Russia or trying to breathe in Delhi or some of these other places? I mean, if you want to really try to help people, that's the place to start. If you know now, and they're trying there in Delhi. I mean, they're saying, okay, let's not drive the cars as much. They're trying to do something to help the people, but You can imagine if you were a parent, you had a little baby or something. You know, how are you going to protect that little child? It's just a horrible situation.
It's really sad to think about that. And yeah, Vladimir Putin recently was launching missiles that he knew were going to land inside of his own country. I mean, imagine the uproar if we were doing that in America and just destroying large swaths of our own land and making it uninhabitable and even deadly, like they're doing over there in Russia. And who knows if maybe that radioactive cloud came from those recent tests.
It's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly where it came from, but or you know what caused it, but that's what they're saying. Interesting there on the pollution front. Here's something that you might find interesting, might be important for you, because a lot of people do use internet banking, and of course, people are always trying to steal information. It says cunning malware spreads going after your bank account. This is from Fox, so this is something you might want to pay attention to. According to a blog post by Cisco-owned Talos, the Zeus Panda malware essentially poisons Google search results to push fake bank-related results to the top of a keyword search. Then the unwary user looking for quick answers to a search related to their bank is fooled into clicking on malicious links. So a lot of times when you get malware, it'll be an email. Oh, open this up. Well, here they are messing with the search engine optimization or the SEO to make it so if you search for something about your bank, which I don't know who would do that, I would just go to my bank's site. But anyway, people do, obviously. Their results come up near the top. And so you'd think, oh, well, if it's at the top, that must be a legitimate thing. Click on it. They want you, of course, to download a Microsoft Word document. And if you do that, then that's how the malware gets into your system and steals your stuff.
Wow, these scammers and hackers just never run out of new ideas. And I would be surprised as well if they were making website URLs that look very similar to the actual bank URL. And so people would probably fall for that really easily, especially if it is at the top of the search engine results, which is that's a huge field now. That's a really popular industry, trying to optimize your results and get them to the top of the page. And it appears like hackers are even investing pretty heavily in that.
Yeah, it's always interesting because there's different scams that come out. Some of them are clever, I guess. Some of them are really pretty obvious. But no matter where they are in that scale, somebody falls for it. Mm-hmm. That's why they send it out. And I think a lot of times it victimizes older people that maybe, you know, they're not as savvy to some of that. And it seems like they believe things a little more, like, well, it says I'm supposed to do this, so I'm going to do this, even though it's a little out of the ordinary. They say the way to protect yourself is that, well, malware needs you to proactively click on a link and buttons typically. And in this case, when the Microsoft Word document is opened, it prompts pop-ups such as enable editing, enable content, and macros have been disabled. If you enable the macro, the executable download will infect your system. They say the biggest red flag you'll get is from Microsoft itself. By default, macros are disabled, and Microsoft wants you to keep it that way to protect you from documents coming from untrusted sources. So, you know, I'm not an expert in any of this. I couldn't tell you all the hows and the whys, but typically, if it just seems suspicious, I just don't do it, and I've so far been fortunate to not have a problem.
Yeah, that's a pretty good principle to live by. And like you mentioned with the elderly people, they're from a different time where your word actually meant something and where honesty was actually valued in society. They didn't have all these different ways of deceiving people like they do now. I'm sure people still tried to do it, but now you have the entire internet that people are using to scam people, and there are just so many different ways to do that you can't possibly keep up with them all. That's why we have to always be paying attention to that, like the different emails that you get from even your own friends whose accounts have been hacked. And usually if they don't have any sort of like coherent sentence in the email and just a link there, probably you don't want to click on that link. There's just a lot of things like that could really mess up your personal situation.
Yep, you have to be really careful and be aware. So far, these hackers are targeting customers in Sweden, India, Australia, and Saudi Arabia. But of course, it could go anywhere. So be careful of that. Anytime you're doing online stuff, you have to be careful. That's one of the newer things that's out there. Cunning malware spreads going after the bank accounts. They're thinking about passing a law potentially and making it illegal to walk and text at the same time. I don't know if you've seen this, but this is something they're thinking about. On October the 25th, Honolulu became the first major American city to make it illegal to text or look down at any electronic device while crossing the street. So I guess it's specifically crossing the street. I should clarify that. The hope is to help solve a growing but unaddressed scourge, distracted walking. The problem has been apparent for years. A 2013 study found that more than 1,500 pedestrians were treated in hospitals in 2010 for injuries related to walking with a mobile device, exceeding those hospitalized because of distracted driving, although 9.1% were texting while 69.5% were talking. That does not include those who refused treatment or died.
Wow.
Wow, somebody died from that. The expected overall total is much higher. In 2011, legislators in Rexburg, Idaho, passed an ordinance similar to Honolulu's, even though measures in the Illinois, New Jersey, and Connecticut have not succeeded. Citizens have criticized the nanny state nature of the laws, but Debbie Hirschman, president of the National Safety Council, argues that drunk driving fatalities declined only after strict laws were introduced and other car safety measures have become natural. She asks, when you wear a seatbelt, do you feel like any of your rights are being taken away from you? Many people probably do, actually. But so they're thinking about that, making texting and walking illegal. I guess, I don't know if it's just crossing the street or if it's in general or public places, but anyway, it's something they're considering. Thoughts?
I tend to favor laws like that because think about it, the cars, the people driving vehicles that are coming into contact, sometimes literally with these people crossing the street, they have laws that they have to abide by. And yet everyone who's walking nearby them and or maybe even riding a bicycle next to them can be as reckless as they feel like, and they don't have any responsibility to avoid these types of accidents. That really doesn't make a lot of sense. Crossing the street takes a few seconds. Surely people could put the phone in their pocket during that time and then take it back out afterward. But even nowadays, just in general, being in public, should we be walking down the sidewalk for a long time looking at our phones and just being oblivious to our surroundings with as dangerous as things are now?
Yeah, it's true. You could easily walk into something or walk into somebody else, and it could be a problem. I know recently I was out in Washington State, and they have a lot more, say, biking paths and things like that, which I like. I think that's nice. The only thing I didn't like about them was they were right next to the road. And so you just have that little painted line separating you from the bikers. Anytime you turn the corner, you just really have to look because people are riding all kinds of bikes, even little ones that were low to the ground, and you couldn't see them. And so whether it's walking or riding a bike or any of these things, anytime you merge all of this traffic into one area, it just makes things a little more difficult. So interesting to see if they make a law. I don't know how they would enforce that necessarily. I mean, would they just be sitting there eyeballing you? You know, and then how would you prove it? Do you need a photo of them? You know, it's just another one of those things where something new comes up in society, and then you have to have laws to regulate how it works, which in some cases makes sense. But we just get law after law after law after law. And you know, at some point, I guess somebody needs to go through the law book and get rid of the ones that don't make sense anymore and add the new ones or whatever.
Yeah, a law like that obviously wouldn't have made sense a couple of decades ago. So it just shows you that times are changing fast, and probably police officers would have to just, you know, if they happen to see someone, then they would talk to them about it. But that's sort of how it is with cars anyway. If you're driving a vehicle, you're not going to get caught every time you text and drive or every time you don't put your seatbelt on. But just the idea that a police officer could be anywhere and could catch you in the act of breaking the law, that should deter a lot of people. And so just the threat of a punishment should keep a lot of people from texting or staring at their phones while they cross the street.
Yeah, I think I always wear my seatbelt just out of habit. I just think it's a good habit. Although when I was growing up, it wasn't a law, and our school bus never had them. I don't know if they do now, but
right.
But the biggest thing besides me just wanting to do it that makes me put on the seatbelt is that irritating beeping that happens in the cars.
Yeah.
Your car just won't stop beeping at you until you put it on. I'm like, I would rather put the thing on than have the beeping constantly. So maybe they need to do that for the phones too. They'll just start beeping or something if you're walking across the street and looking at it too. It would deter you from having it out.
Yeah, that would be quite the technological accomplishment. You'd have to merge it with the GPS on the phone, make sure that the GPS is active on the phone at all times so that it would sense when you're actually crossing a road. So if someone could actually pull that off, that would be pretty impressive, and that would be really effective too, because I mean, that beeping in my car is just relentless. And sometimes people hop in the passenger side, they don't put their seatbelt on right away, and it happens quite a lot, actually. And it's funny because the beeping just keeps going, and people are just always oblivious to it. I'm like, you know, you realize there's beeping going on for a reason.
Go ahead and put that seatbelt on if you don't mind. Yeah, so that's interesting. That's a law they're looking at in some places. And I have been in a few places where on the entryway it says, you know, no cell phones in terms of having them on or looking at them. They're trying to keep it cell phone free zone. I think it was a bookstore, actually. So I don't know. I complied with the law, but I saw some others not.
Oh.
Who's going to stop these lawbreakers? And nobody did anything. The old lady at the bookstore didn't do anything about it. Older lady, she was older.
Yeah, well, who wants to confront dozens of people every day who are just blatantly defying the law of your store? It's a difficult situation, I'm sure, but that's why it does matter that just the citizens in general have a basic respect for the law. And sometimes there's going to be a lot of laws or rules in life that you don't understand, and it just works out better if you follow them.
Yeah. So we'll see if that becomes a thing. I think I've heard some debate about it here, even in Oklahoma, about the texting and walking and so forth. So we'll see. Make sure you stop and check out thetrumpet.com. Today, top story is Russia and Iran signed $30 billion energy deals. They're working closely together. And that's not good news for the United States. It says three trends to watch as Russians and Iranians work together. So that's a top story there at thetrumpet.com today. Also related to that, Iran urges Russia to ditch U.S. dollar. They'd be happy to do it, I'm sure. And Middle East replaces America with Russia. So Russia's very much in the mix there. Also, listen for the Trumpet Daily Radio Show coming up. One of the topics talked about today was the difficulties in Theresa May's government. Lots of scandals over there related very similarly to what we see here in the U.S., the sexual harassment. That's the big talk of the day, and they're having problems over there too. So whether it's here in the United States or it's over in the U.K., the hot topic of the month now, Russia's been pushed aside in collusion and whatever they were talking about in other parts, it's pushed aside now. Everything's about this sexual harassment and assaults.
How do you think our Vice President Mike Pence must feel now after being so relentlessly ridiculed for, you remember how he had that personal rule where he wouldn't have a meeting alone with a woman other than his wife behind closed doors, or he wouldn't be at a party with alcohol unless his wife were there with him. Remember how the media attacked him for it, and yet at the same time, the media is obviously disgusted by the sex scandals, and Mike Pence was just taking precautions to protect himself from those types of things. The two things are clearly connected. This just shows you how important it is to protect your reputation, to make sure that you're not even in positions where people could just accuse you. Who knows how many of these people are actually guilty? I mean, it's going to be very hard to find physical evidence of it. So a lot of time it's just his word versus her word, and you just kind of have to go from there. But if people are just being accused left and right, people tend to believe the accuser. The word is out there. You've now heard that this person has been accused of sexual assault, and people tend to believe that.
Yeah, he actually was following, whether he knew it or not, maybe he did, but a very biblical principle of avoiding the appearance of evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so he looks like quite a smart one right now, because I had the same thought, just that because now this is the trend, anybody that's in a position of power or fame or leadership that is male is probably nervous, just because either maybe something happened or maybe they're just worried about accusers. And it is pretty interesting too. Just I've always found it interesting how, you know, we live in a society where anything goes, people do whatever they want, morality is thrown to the side until people decide they want to make it an issue, and then people become the most you know, law-abiding judges, if you want to say it that way. Possible. You know, they're going to scour a person's record, and they did what? And the outrage. And granted, if it's bad, it's bad. But it's just amazing how they just situational ethics. You know, it's bad when we decide it is, but if we don't care, we're going to let anything go. It's the hypocrisy is just blatant.
Yeah, I can't even count the number of times I've seen a TV show or a movie where there's been a scenario in that where maybe a man says, well, why don't we just have the business meeting in my apartment? Or if you just come in here with me real quick to pick up your jacket, then we'll go from there. And then how many times does that end up in adultery or abuse of some sort? It's just that type of lifestyle, though, is glorified. Like, just, you know, come in, nothing's going to happen. My spouse or my partner is going to trust me, and that's totally fine. Yeah, but being in that situation does raise a lot of lust for any normal person who has a sex drive. People are going to be tempted by that.
Yeah, you got to stay away from just the bad situations. I get this emails from the UK National Union of Journalists, and they send out things related to media over there. And they have a little essay they sent today, or a little write-up. The title is Stamp Out Sexism. And they say, newspaper and broadcasting organizations have a duty of care for their employees and people who work for them, and it's time they took that seriously. They say the latest revelations in the Westminster of MPs and ministers sexually harassing journalists are not new. Many journalists have felt they've had no option but to put up with it for fear their experiences would not be believed, that it somehow reflects upon them. Excuse me. Or that their employers would belittle what had happened if they got into some sort of problems. It says women in the, and get this, of course, women in the male-dominated lobby have been reluctant to speak out because it all comes with the territory, they are told. And they go on to say there needs to be a radical change of culture in the media world. Men still dominate the positions of power in management and on the boards. Journalists, men and women, must act collectively with their union to make it clear that this behavior must stop. And then they say, if anyone has experienced sexual harassment, please contact them. Well, you know, I mean, a lot of it is valid. Yeah, there does need to be change. Yes, these things should be stopped. But they always throw that little thing in there at the end. It's a male-dominated society, you know. You know, it's a male-dominated field. And we need radical changes. Well, what changes do you need exactly? They're always pushing it back on the fact that there are men in position of power and leadership, and they don't want that. In some cases, it is abused, but in many cases, it's not. Is that the answer, to get rid of the men? Because really, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, it seems like the trend or the push here is pretty clear and obvious, just like you say. And, I mean, there are some solutions to things like that. I mean, a lot of these female reporters, for example, they couldn't necessarily avoid an offhand comment. But if there are male leaders who are predators, stay in a public place. Don't go alone with these people. You know, there a lot of these situations could simply be avoided if women took more of an account of their surroundings, their situation. You don't want to blame the victim at all, but obviously the predator is not going to take any steps to avoid these situations. The potential victims have to do their part there.
Well, you remember recently, I mean, a few years ago in the U.S., what was the big controversy? Letting the women go into the men's locker rooms after sporting contests. And inevitably some things occurred, you know, at least comments or something.
Like female reporters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were up in arms about it. Well, where's the common sense there? Don't send them in. Don't send them in there. Now, I don't know if they've changed the rules or not. I doubt it. I haven't seen much about it lately. But that one comes to mind, too. Just absolute lack of sense, and then the outrage when something occurs. Well, can you run through the fire and not get burned a little bit? I mean, let's be a little bit smart here.
Yeah, I mean, that's such an ignorant thing to have the female reporters doing, sending them into a locker room full of nude or partially nude men. And in response, a lot of the time, they're going to make a comment because, well, their privacy is being intruded upon anyway. And so the situation is just totally not ideal in any way. And things happen. Things are said, things are done, and it could all be avoided if you simply had boundaries between the males and the females. What's the push today? To make them exactly the same, to say that maybe one gene in 20,000 is different, but all the rest are exactly the same. So there's no reason to separate them at all. That's what people are saying.
Well, it's the same thing, isn't it, on college campuses where co-ed dorms become the norm?
Yeah.
And then everyone's upset about a rape culture? Well, separate them. Keep them separated and keep proper authority there, and don't let people, you know, cohabitate or go to the different dorms. You're going to solve a lot of your problems. And, I mean, really, the question, of course, comes down to, well, what's the real problem? Is it just men being in positions of power, or is it the fact that God's laws are being broken by everybody in every, you know, conceivable way. That's the problem. But see, they won't talk about God's laws. It's amazing. There's a really great trumpet brief yesterday that Joel Hilliker put out, and he said, look honestly at what is happening here. You will find powerful proof that God knows what he is talking about and that we ignore him at our peril. Our society has renounced God's standards and laws. It mocks his morality and flouts his definitions of right and wrong. God condemns fornication. We embrace it. He condemns adultery. We accept it. He commands that sex be confined within marriage. Society sneers. Jesus Christ said merely looking on a woman lustfully is committing adultery in the heart, Matthew 5:28. But we live in a pornographic playground and celebrate it until suddenly we decide we don't like some of the effects. Truer words have not been spoken on the topic.
That's what you see all the time with these situations. People are very vocal about calling out a problem when the problem finally arises, but far be it from anyone to dare suggest any sort of moral steps to stop the problem from occurring in the first place. And we've talked about, even just now, plenty of practical ways to avoid situations like this, and yet society scoffs at it and yet still is alarmed by the problems that inevitably result when you don't take those practical steps.
Right. CNN has a write-up about it today. And one of the writers, Amanda Mercotti, I believe, there's a definition that's given of toxic masculinity. It says it's a specific model of manhood geared toward dominance and control. And then it goes on to say, this sees sex as an act not of affection but domination, and which valorizes violence as the way to prove oneself to the world. So just think about that. It has sex as an act of domination, not affection, and glorifies violence. You mean like most video games, music, and movies that Hollywood sells? And then you're surprised when some people are actually acting out on it? are we serious about this? Yeah, that's all terrible stuff. But how often do you see something horrible happen? And people say, well, what about the video games? They say, unrelated. Or you see something bad happen, you say, what about the music? Doesn't matter. What about the movies? They're just movies. And then when people are actually doing these things, they say, well, it's toxic masculinity. Well, it's the movies you're pushing at everybody, and the music and the video games, and people are actually, lo and behold, influenced heavily by it.
It does seem like most people think that these types of entertainments are a way to vicariously act out our basest impulses so that we don't carry them out in real life. Yet what we always see is that people get the ideas in their head from hearing the lyrics, seeing the scenes, playing out that part of the video game, and that's what makes them want to experience it in real life. It's not just that entertainment is a substitute. Entertainment becomes reality. If people are putting that in their head all the time, that becomes what they actually want to do. We seem to fail to acknowledge that all the time.
Absolutely. And they go on in this piece to say, the problem is because men wield disproportionate power and privilege that we have failed to question.
There you go. That's
really
the problem.
Is that the problem? And they say, here's the solution. They say, recasting one movie isn't the answer. We have to recast the fundamental roles and expectations for men in every aspect of our society. Really? Recast the fundamental roles? Well, the Bible already defines the roles. But people ignore it, as Mr. Hilliker points out. And then they don't like the results, and they say we have to recast the roles. Well, it's in the Bible. Are we going to go back for that, for the answers?
Well, the roles are already hugely altered from what they used to be, even in this country, because we had a biblical foundation, man at the head, woman as the helpmeet, and it worked pretty amazingly for a couple hundred years. Then we decided to change that. A lot of the men going off to war started that because a lot of the women then had to go into the factory. They realized that they were making money and supporting themselves, and they didn't want to give up those jobs that they had just gotten. But you see the trend where men and women are meeting in the middle, or they're even switching places where the woman becomes a provider and the man stays at home. And now we're seeing more and more problems. People don't want to acknowledge that, oh yeah, we have already changed the roles, and that's why we're experiencing these things. And whenever they say we need to re-examine the roles, they're not saying go back to what it says in the Bible. They're saying go even further in the wrong direction. Make it where men are totally subjugated to women and women dominate to the extreme. And it was never even that way to the opposite effect in history ever, at least if you did it by the way of the Bible. So that's what this movement is all about, women dominating, which is really, if it gets down to it, that's not when they're happy. When they're totally dominating men, those are not happy women. They're screaming and they're demanding more all the time.
Well, too, I mean, if they want to look at some of these issues, just take a look at the recent headlines where there have been some women in power and in the schools. I see a headline almost every single week where a woman's arrested with a younger guy from a high school. And, you know, who knows how it all happened, but it went that way. So you see it happening. I don't care what the gender is and all of that. People are just consuming this perverted media, this perverted way of living, acting out on it, and then trying to blame the Bible, really, as the problem. And the Bible is the solution.
Yeah, they're acting as if only male leaders in all of history have ever made mistakes. Didn't the Baltimore mayor say that the rioters should have the space to destroy? That was a female. Hillary Clinton obviously had a lot of scandals during her 30 years as a politician. And Angela Merkel had a motherly approach to immigration, which has almost destroyed Germany. It's driven them to the brink of electing or letting a strong man come into office, which is biblically prophesied. And it's not to just say that all female leaders make mistakes, but female leaders make mistakes. Male leaders make mistakes. It's a matter of just not doing what God says, and then the problems arise. It doesn't matter what your gender is. Masculinity or femininity is never the problem if it's done the right way. And yet we're trying to act like what God says is totally wrong and it's the cause of these things.
Yeah, and I think what's going to happen, this is just my guess based upon the way things are going, is that men more and more are going to just stop having anything to do with women because there's just such potential for trouble. So what do you see? I mean, what do we see already? People aren't getting married, rise in pornography, family destroyed. That's the end of it all, is the destruction of the family and the destruction of the roles.
Yeah, there is a big movement called MGTOW. It's men going their own way, and that's exactly what it is. Men who don't see the value in a relationship because they know that at any time the woman could get unhappy, divorce him, take half of everything he owns, probably get custody of the children because she has the advantage when it comes to that as well. So you already see that society has tilted things in favor of the woman when it comes to the marriage relationship. And it's just almost like, well, why deal with that issue if the woman wants to be in charge or at least treated as an equal, but at the same time, she still expects you to pay for all of her things? You know, what is the standard here? It's unclear now because we're trying to get away from the roles.
Yeah, and even within this movement of this Me Too movement or these talking about being assaulted or whatever, in some cases are pretty bad stories. In other cases, I think, well, that doesn't seem like it's in the same category. Like the guy maybe said he was interested and they said that was an attack. I don't think it's the same thing.
Well, that just shows you the effect of the feminist movement and how they've been reared to hate men. I mean, hate real men who are meant to, in a lot of cases, initiate a relationship. They're meant to try to get out there and put themselves out there, take the risks of initiating a relationship. And now if a man has the gall to ever ask a woman on a date, like that is a sexual advance somehow.
Yeah. There's a lot of great write-ups at thetrumpet.com this week about this topic, and it's so much in the news that you really have to go to the Trumpet and look at that and get some common sense, biblically based common sense. It's not just common sense as man would see it, but biblically based common sense to get some balance in this. Because like anything that is out there and part of Satan's society, you know, a little truth, a little error, you know, mix the whole thing together, because there's some stuff that is bad and it should be stopped. But then the conclusion that they draw is completely wrong. So you have to get the truth of it, and that only comes from the Bible, and that's talked about on thetrumpet.com. So really good write-ups this week. Make sure you look at those, because otherwise, boy, it's hard to keep it all straight.
Yeah, and you could easily make a case that we need more firebrands, even if they're not perfect in every way. We need more men who are going to confront these predators when they are exposed or whenever they find out of even a rumor of it. They need to go figure out what's happening, especially if it's their own wives, like we mentioned yesterday. If men were taking the lead and they were truly being protectors, like the Bible says they should be, I think that would help. Instead of pushing men to be meek and quiet and try to get them to take a back seat. You need to have dominant men when it comes to sexual predators, don't you?
Well, that's the irony of it, right? It's that if most of the men out there decide, okay, you know, we're going to become these really meek and quiet and we're not going to stand up for anything. Well, those aren't the ones that would be a problem anyway as far as predatorial.
No, yeah.
But there are still those out there that are going to be predators. They're going to do what they do. It's like any criminal element. You're still going to have your criminal element, unfortunately. And there'll be nobody to stop them.
Yep.
Who's going to stand up to them? You know, there's a story even today. I don't know all the details, but this 17-year-old girl was going to be kidnapped. And you know who ran out there and ran the guys off? Her dad.
There you go.
And they took off, and he saved her life, I'm sure. Don't know all the details about it, but you need to hear more stories like that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And a lot of these situations, some young girls take more risks with getting into a relationship early or getting around the wrong guy who ends up turning around and abusing her. And almost every time you hear that she didn't have a strong father figure and she's looking for that stability in her life from a man, no matter how flawed or how abusive he might be. And so if you do have the men in the picture stopping these things from happening, well, I think we wouldn't even be talking about this right now.
Yeah. And then when you have the breakdown of the family, well, what do you have? You have a rise in drug addiction. How many people are taken advantage of because of drug addictions? If we want to talk about people being taken advantage of.
Because they're unconscious at a party or whatnot.
Yep. Or, yeah. Or they're so addicted they'll do whatever to get their drug. How about that?
True.
You know, I mean, there's so many issues where, yes, the people are being taken advantage of by sin and by destruction and being manipulated, yet we pick and choose what we want to go after in society. You know, if you really want to look at people being taken advantage of, there's lots of places to look, but yet we're picking and choosing today.
Yeah, and we continue to glamorize the very activities, the total debauchery and immorality that leads to all these problems that we're having, and then we act like there's no connection, that people seeing and hearing these things in entertainment has no connection to what they're actually doing in real life. Obviously, there's no logic, there's no sense to that, and you know that Satan, the devil, would have to be just totally preying on that.
And you know, talk about just the hypocrisy of it all. I was reading about some of these scandals on a news site, and they pop up a video advertisement for a show on a cable network that I'm not familiar with. But it gives you the very clear idea of what it's about, and it's all about the same stuff that they're talking about in the article. You know, it shows the women doing this, doing that, doing the other thing. And this an advertisement for a show that we're supposed to watch that deals with the same thing, but it's glamorizing that lifestyle in the same article that's condemning the actual behavior. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and a lot of those types of entertainment, they portray women as easy to get involved with. And so if men think that's how it is in real life, well, they're going to get upset when it's not working out, aren't they? And they're going to respond in a pretty shocking way in a few rare cases. And then we're going to hear all about it in the news once again. So people are getting the wrong idea that women are sex objects. Where's that coming from? It's coming from entertainment that we glamorize and glorify.
Yeah, we have a massive, massive pornography industry in the United States. And somehow you expect young people, men and women, boys and girls, to be glutted on that as they grow up. And then just go out and live a normal, upstanding lifestyle out there? I mean, that's ridiculous to think that would happen. There is a cause and an effect.
Yeah, absolutely right. And just even to think about how pornography destroys the foundational institution of the family, how it does separate husbands and wives because people can't break the addiction even when they're already married. And they have someone they could love instead of turning to that filthy vice. And so if it's breaking down the families, you just go from there, and all the problems just multiply from that. Whenever the parents separate, then you have children growing up in a one-parent household, a lot of them with single mothers who are not going to be as intimidating in stopping their children from going out on the street or getting into a lot of bad things as their fathers would have been. And so you just see how Even right back at the beginning with the family, pornography just gets in the way and ruins people's lives.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing, and it leads to a lot of the problems we see. Even yesterday, this fairly famous comedian got accused of some things. And, well, lo and behold, that's what his jokes are about.
Yeah.
And people laugh at the jokes. I think he's a really funny guy. He became wealthy making jokes about the behavior that he actually does. So it's okay to sit there and laugh at it and make the guy rich off of the jokes. But then when you find out he actually does the stuff, then it's an outrage. I mean, same thing.
That's exactly what I thought when I saw he got in trouble. It's like, well, the only jokes I even know from him almost are sexually explicit, inappropriate type jokes. Literally exactly the act that he was accused of carrying out.
Yeah. So it's what do we expect? You know, it's now again, it doesn't make any of it right or anything like that, but it's just the focus is off in this talking about it. So go to thetrumpet.com and read those write-ups. There's some great ones there about what's going on with all these scandals. Also this weekend, brand new Key of David program, Iran, king of the Middle East. America has pushed the Islamic State out of Iraq, but another nation will seize power and trigger a third world war. Great Key of David program. It's here on KPCG this weekend. It's on television as well, and you can watch it at thetrumpet.com. Iran is the new king, the boss on the block in the Middle East.
And people wondered why we were talking about the King of the South booklet this week. It's almost like you knew what the topic of that program was.
That's right. It all tied together. And so we are going to talk a little bit more in the time remaining about the King of the South. It's a great booklet at thetrumpet.com. I can never tell. What's a book and a booklet? I always get confused on that. I don't know what the exact amount of pages is. It's a good-sized booklet, I'll say that.
Yeah, I usually classify a book as anything over like 100, 120 maybe 150 pages, something like that.
Whatever you prefer it to be. That's what. No, it's a good size booklet at least, and a lot of great information in there. A great read, and it's the King of the South talking about Iran, radical Islam, other nations that tie into what's happening in the Middle East. A couple of headlines from today related to this. This is from AlJazeera.com. Saudi foreign minister says Iran is the number one state sponsor of terrorism. You know, pulled from the headlines, but those are things that have been talked about for years that the author of the book, Gerald Fleury, has written in The King of the South, and he's been talking about that for over 20 years, that how they are. If you really want to go after the top of the terror ladder, the head of the snake, Iran is it, and now the Saudi foreign minister is saying the same thing.
Yeah, it's maybe that warning doesn't have the credibility it should, because what was it, like 17 or 18 out of the 19 who attacked on 9/11 were from Saudi Arabia. So it doesn't make the warning any less true, though. I mean, even if the people were from Saudi Arabia or from these other nations, they're all being funded and sponsored by Iran. Iran's giving them full support, more money, more weapons than any other nation in the entire world is. And so that's where it all gets back to. People are often distracted by what nations these people hail from. It doesn't really matter. The root of it all is still Iran.
Yeah. Another headline from ABC News today. U.S. Air Force official says missile targeting Saudis was Iranian. So the one that got shot there, they say, yeah, that all indications are it's from Iran. Iran is definitely pushing. And that's what we want to talk about today, how Iran pushes. Daniel 11:40 says that they push against the King of the North. And you can look at what they've been doing recently over the last decade or so. They are pushing at everybody. They're looking for war.
Yeah, and they're going to get it very soon. That's what the Bible prophesies as well. It's just a matter of who's going to give it to them, because we have a lot of nations today that just are hesitant to take any sort of decisive action until it's too late. And then even some of the most powerful nations, like we heard with Russia, they're on Iran's side already, and so you can't really expect them to do anything about it.
Yeah, it's pointed out here in this book about Iran's pushing that there was a write-up in 1993 from Mideast Affairs, and they said, apparently the Iranians are calculating exactly how far they can push their neighbors. So that's, I don't know if they got that from the Bible, I don't think they did, but it's the same terminology. A few other examples where they captured 15 British seamen in Iraqi waters in March 2007, and then they captured some of our sailors as well right around the time of that nuclear deal. So they're being pushy. That's the best way to say it.
How much more brazen could you get than humiliating U.S. sailors at the same exact time as the nuclear deal is about to get finalized? And yet it still got finalized. This was 4 days before the nuclear deal was finalized, and we didn't take that to heart at all. We just took that, were humiliated by it, and then just went right along with what we were going to do anyway.
Yeah, we were absolutely humiliated, as you say, and it's written here in the book that it was a strong power play to take those U.S. sailors hostage. The mullahs sent an ominous message to the world. You can't rely on America for protection and support anymore, especially in the Middle East. We are now in charge here. We do have to pay attention to the messages, these things that are being sent by these events. It's easy to look at it and say, well, it's just a few soldiers and they let them go. What's the big deal? Well, they're sending a message to the world and it's being received.
Well, remember, right after it happened, Barack Obama and Joe Biden were trying to describe it as our ship broke down and they were just rescuing us. And very clearly, that's not what it was, because they were taking pictures holding the U.S. sailors hostage. They were mocking them for crying in some of those pictures. That doesn't seem like a kind-hearted rescue. That's how they described it, though. Regardless, the world can see the truth in that. Everyone knows that that was a blatant lie, and they know exactly what Iran was trying to do there.
Yeah, you think about the way they treated the American soldiers in that footage. And here the leadership in the U.S. at the time comes out and says they were rescuing us. Okay, why don't you take a policeman from some inner city and have him, quote-unquote, rescue somebody and blindfold them and throw them in the squad car. You'd have riots in the streets and talking about systematic racism out of the same leadership.
Yeah.
That's a hypocrisy in the spin machine at its finest.
Well, I don't even think those Iranians who took them hostage even put their guns down. I think, weren't they even pointing guns at them as they were rescuing them? I've never seen a rescue where you actually were pointing guns at those you're saving.
Yeah, no thanks. I'll see if I can get out of here on my own. Call for roadside assistance. You get blindfolded and held up at gunpoint. Not exactly the help you were looking for. It's pointed out here, though, that Iran has a foreign policy with a lot of push to it. And since the end of its war with Iraq in 1988, that seems like forever ago, Iran has accumulated a massive arsenal of weapons to back up its aggressive foreign policy. And that arsenal includes chemical and biological weapons. Pretty soon, if not already, it's going to include nuclear weapons as well.
Yeah, and we've seen the clear progression. We've seen how they've relentlessly pursued all the weapons that they need to carry out different scale attacks in different locations around the world. And there's no indication they're going to stop at these intermediate type weapons. Why would they stop if they have just continually been progressing toward the big one, especially with the ideology that motivates them? Obviously, the biggest destruction can be caused by the biggest missile.
I heard that it's crazy headline today where somebody was, they're being critical of the U.S. threatening to pull out of the Iran deal or whatever that thing is. It's not a deal, but you know what I mean? And they said, well, you have to be careful. If you do something like that, they could turn into the next North Korea. Yeah, too late.
They already are worse.
They're worse than that because they have this radical death wish ideology, and they're going to get all the weapons if they don't have them already. And so to sit there and say, you know, we got to keep engaging them and capitulating to them, it's outrageous.
Right. And just notice how alarmed America is about North Korea now, about 20 years too late. And so you're going to see the same thing with Iran, where maybe we finally start to be as concerned with them as we should be at 10 or 15, 20 years too late. And that's what the problem is, that we didn't take North Korea seriously until they actually had the weapons and were actually regularly launching them. Is that really what it's going to take for us to take Iran seriously?
Yeah, it's a really bad idea to evoke the North Korean situation in relation to Iran, because the only reason, as we covered yesterday and it's covered in the King of the South booklet, the only reason North Korea is where they are in terms of their nuclear technology is because of the exact same type of deal that President Clinton made. And so now to talk about it like, you know, well, we better be careful. They'll end up like North Korea. We're doing the exact same thing. It's just like the height of madness almost.
Yeah, it's extreme procrastination, reacting to the problem way too late, a total ignorance, a willing ignorance of history, obviously. I mean, this just happened with North Korea. It's not like this is hundreds of years ago and we're supposed to dig that up from the pages of a dusty history book. This is just from 20 years ago, and we've already forgotten. I mean, North Korea is in the headlines every day because we didn't deal with them decisively. What was it, back in 1996 or so? If we had dealt with them back then, instead of trying to negotiate, instead of trying to advance peace through diplomacy, if we treated them like the brutal regime that they are, and we dealt with them in the only language they know, which is force, there would not be a problem with North Korea today.
Yeah, but it just continues to be an issue, and these issues are getting bigger everywhere. It says here in this booklet, The King of the South, that the King of the South or Iran is going to push at him. That is the King of the North, the European Union. Again, it's Daniel 11, verse 40. Gesenius Hebrew Lexicon says the word push means to strike, used of horned animals. You know what that is. I mean, we've all seen rams or other things smash into other things with their head or push them. It's usually because they want to fight. It says it also means to wage war. Push is a violent word. This push no doubt revolves around Jerusalem and biblical Judah, called Israel today, just as the clashes in the time of the Crusades did. That city is the third most holy city in the Islamic world. Pope John Paul II spoke publicly of possibly moving the Roman Catholic Church headquarters there. You've got these two great powerful religions. They both passionately desire Jerusalem. That's what the clash is going to be. It's not going to be America, because we're not on the scene in a powerful way at that time. It's going to be between this King of the South, King of the North, two different religions.
Right, and we have heard many, many times how religion has killed more people than anything else, and that's because the ideologies can get really extreme. Obviously, with Islam, where they think that any amount of violence will lead to the return of their version of the Messiah. And the Catholic Church throughout history has always been involved in politics, always wanted to have the backing of the state so that they could have even more influence, make even more money. And so these are two crusading type religions. They both desire Jerusalem. And so the clash is inevitable. It's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen.
It's really interesting when you look at any new big news events or any regions of the world. Like, people can see that things are happening, and they can see that there are some conflicts to be concerned about, but they always are missing what's actually going to happen there, because they're not looking at Bible prophecy. They're looking at Iran, and there's headlines today about the U.S. will get pulled into a war with Iran and this and that, and the Bible doesn't talk about that. It talks about the King of the North and the King of the South. Doesn't mean Iran couldn't do something, you know, on some level, we don't know, but exactly. But the major conflict, the major battle, King of the North, King of the South. But people aren't looking at that. They're not looking at Europe today in that way. But that's what the Bible talks about, and nobody else is talking about outside of the trumpet.
There is a multitude of options for what could happen on the world stage now, because people are even questioning if we would have to go to war with North Korea. That's possible, but it's not necessarily relevant when it comes to the steps taken that lead to World War III. People are wondering all types of different scenarios if they could possibly take place, and yet the Bible is very specific, exactly like you say. There is no need to wonder about it. It's not just enough to acknowledge a problem. You want to also know where it's going, and that's a big faith builder, Bible prophecy, understanding what exactly the future holds so you don't have to worry about it every day. That helps a lot.
Yeah, it gives the big overview, even though, of course, you have little skirmishes in between that go different directions. But the overview is given there, and it says here that the blatantly bold and aggressive foreign policy of Iran must lead to war. It will either conquer or be conquered. And you can see that. I mean, that's exactly their thinking. They're not the idea that the U.S. is going to go negotiate peace with them. They don't want peace. They want war, and that's what they're hoping to get, and they're going to get it, but they're not going to get it from the U.S.
Yeah, they're not. They're not looking for just a back and forth. They're not looking to engage in verbal battles. They want a real one, and they don't care who loses. I mean, as long as there's a huge body count, that's what they're looking for, because that will bring about the return of their Messiah. That's what people don't understand. Their mindset is very different. That's not to hate them, but the religious ideology, the extreme Islam, is a perverse way of thinking that does just lead to indiscriminate death.
Yeah, it says here in this King of the South book, a new superpower is rising in the European Union, and the Bible labels this conglomerate the King of the North. It takes one king to topple another king. You have a King of the South, you have a King of the North, and it says these latter two countries are going to fall into social, being the U.S. and Britain, going to fall into social and economic ruin before this prophecy is even fulfilled. We're not even on the scene. Could you see that happening? Are we divided today?
Oh, yeah. It's It's really bad now, obviously. I mean, who could have ever thought that our college campuses would turn into riot zones just because someone they disagree with would show up? I mean, colleges used to be the haven of free speech. They obviously have always leaned left ever since the communists infiltrated, 60 or 70 years ago. But even still, they at least were tolerant of opposing views. That has changed very quickly. The race relations in the country have changed very quickly, even despite the progress we made in the 1960s with civil rights. Who would have thought that the tensions would be way higher now, even after we have supposedly evened the playing field of all the races?
And now, I mean, we can't even agree on what constitutes male and female. You mean to tell me we're going to take on the King of the South? We're so divided over just the greatest foolishness that obviously we can't do anything much about it. It says the time when Britain and America were superpowers or kings is history. And so there's new kings rising there, the King of the North, King of the South. There's a lot more there that you need to look at it. TheTrumpet.com's free book, The King of the South. Make sure you check it out and watch the Kia David program this weekend on Iran, the king of the Middle East. So very important programs there. Make sure you listen for that Kia David program, Trumpet Daily Radio Show, and the Trumpet Hour Week in Review coming your way this weekend with Watch Jerusalem as well. That's all the time we have for today and this week. For myself, Dwight Falk, and Grant Turgeon, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
Listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.